This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world. Scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Well, in Japan, there's been a challenge to the constitution.
We like a good challenge.
We do, yeah. And there's a high court case which was put forward on Valentine's Day. So 13 couples of various ages from their 20s to their 60s are participating in this lawsuit. And what they're arguing is against the constitution, Article 24 of the constitution. And that says that marriage shall be based on a mutual consent of both sexes. And so they're saying that you can't ban gay marriage if that's what the constitution says. They're seeking over 1 million yen in compensation. I think that's quite a significant sum, as well as litigation costs.
They've only just started this process.
Yes,
too,
and it could go as long as 5 years, their lawyer says. So this is just the beginning of a very big journey. Japan is the only one of the group of seven nations that denies LGBTI people the right to marry. So this is quite a significant case. There were two plaintiffs, and I think that's what's been so powerful about this particular case. There were two LGBTI people. One was a woman, Haru Ono, who's a breast cancer survivor, and she's been in a relationship with her partner for 14 years, and she highlighted to the court the legal problems when undergoing treatment for cancer. And then there was Ikuo Sato, who's 60, who's gay, HIV positive, and that he complains that the ban on same-sex marriage can deprive couples of their rights to assist their partners, especially in their final moments and in funeral arrangements as well.
So really what they're trying to do is put a personal face to what this ban on same-sex marriage is doing. So they've taken a really wide variety of people, trying to, break down some of those stereotypes of what a gay person is, and showing them as real people with real lives. Interestingly, the Ikuo Sato, his partner didn't appear in the courtroom because he keeps his sexuality a secret. So if he's a similar age as his partner, that's about 60, then, you know, there's obviously a lot of fear and stigma if he's still hiding his sexuality.
Yeah, this story was featured in the Japan Times, which I think is one of the big newspapers, so that's, you know, getting the story out there.
We'll keep an eye on that case. Mm-hmm. Across to Ireland now, where drag story time has been cancelled for children after a backlash. A story time event presented by drag performers has been cancelled. The DIY Drag Collective was scheduled to deliver a storytelling for children aged between 3 and 7 at a local library in Dublin.
You forgot their name. Glitter Hole.
Okay. The event, I can't imagine why it'd be cancelled for kids. The event, which was promoted to provide glamorous, positive and unabashedly queer role models, was due to take place as a part of a series at the library. However, people on social media, those that shall ever be unnamed, called for a review on the age appropriateness of this event. The result was it was cancelled. The drag performers put out some statements saying that they were, you know, really regretted it. They said they had been subjected to extremely violent homophobia online.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this is sort of like in a string of stories that have been around age appropriacy and bringing, you know, LGBTI-friendly initiatives into lower secondary and now into primary schools in England. There was a similar story a few weeks ago. It obviously seems to be the new front line, in a way, of the battle over this.
Kids just see dress up and fun and vibrant stories. The library did, in fact, back down. They put out a statement, which they then had to reword, because people are upset. They're saying that they do not support homophobia, but they have these guidelines, and so we'll watch that space in Ireland.
Kenya moves to halt corrective surgery for intersex children. Task Force on Policy, Legal, Institutional and Administrative Reforms regarding intersex persons want to see corrective surgery halted until intersex children can make informed decisions. So there was a report released this week with experts saying that surgery on intersex people should only be allowed in the case of a medical emergency. And I think let's follow the discovery by Peter Mengi that the testis of his son, born 8 years ago, is empty. So the parents were curious about this, why one of the boy's genitalia appears smaller than normal. After physical check, they found that the testis had no testicle and the boy had 2 ovaries in his lower abdomen but no womb.
In fact, the man said that his wife collapsed at this revelation, so it was a big shock to them.
So, and then Menji said that the news invited a lot of advice from his neighbours, relatives and friends, some of whom recommended religious intervention. Other advised that the child should be killed, citing a curse.
I don't think that's called advice, but, you know.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, someone was quoted here as saying, that corrective surgery should be applied to help cure the baby. Cure is such a turn of phrase.
Yeah, it is really, and stigma and wanted attention really came to become part of the life of this family, and
The flip side to this, in California, they tried to put an intersex bill up, and it has been shoved aside, really. The bill, which looked at providing informed consent before any medical treatments, has been moved off Parliament's agenda as there doesn't seem to be enough support for it.
That was in the state of California. So in this case, what's interesting is in Kenya, they're being actually quite progressive and thinking about intersex rights and getting some good advice to government. So if they can do that in the intersex space, maybe there's movement in other areas as well.
And now over to Ukraine, where a group of lesbians have held a conference in Kiev despite counter-protests. So that when the organisers of the second European Lesbian Conference chose Kiev as the host city, they weighed the importance of visibility and solidarity against the inevitable security risks. Conference board member Biljana Genova explained that Kiev was chosen because it was a convenient for activists from Eastern Europe and Central Asia and to demonstrate solidarity with activists in Ukraine who are understandably feeling unsafe. Protesters broke through the human barricade of private security personnel and released pepper spray in the hotel lobby. Inside a Ukrainian LGBTQ organisation reported 10 people affected by pepper spray received treatment at the hotel.
And they did kind of achieve their aim, the protesters. The conference venue was evacuated and the public events were cancelled due to security risks. But the organisers spoke out.
Again, this is not something new in a country like Ukraine, which does struggle with quite diverse attitudes.
And in brief,
US President Donald Trump's ban on trans-military people has now came into effect last Friday. Groups have said that will increase stigma and mental health problems.
And Amnesty International has hit out at Russian authorities 2 years after horrifying anti-gay crackdown in Chechnya was revealed.
And Make USA Great Again, an openly gay mayor whose presidential bid has sparked national attention, has officially announced his campaign for the US presidency.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.